This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, December 7th, 2014, the second Sunday in Advent, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Comfort my people, says your God. Penitential seasons like Advent and Lent, we can sort of step back a little bit, and if you're not thinking clearly, you can kind of get this idea that it's I got to watch myself because I'm not worthy and all that, which is true. That's a fact. But there's a comfort in this whole thing, and that comfort is the fact that we do serve the gospel. The gospel, the good news of the comfort of the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. So, again, there's a lot of soul-searching that goes on, and there are things that we can fix to bring us closer to Christ. That is the gospel. That is the journey in which we are embarking and that we have embarked in this world. It's the gospel. It's the gospel that has been spoken of in the Old Testament. It's not a New Testament thing. The comfort of God. Oh, the Old Testament God, he was the God who wanted to smite everybody and do this and do that. He's the same God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We hear about this comfort of the people, the Holy Spirit speaking through the prophet Isaiah. The words of comfort, even back in the Old Testament, well over 1,000 years before our Savior was ever born. And God speaking to the prophet talks about the comfort that is to be derived from understanding the message of the good news of salvation that God is going to bring forward to us and not something that we have to do ourselves. It should be a tremendous source of comfort. And even in these penitential seasons, as you proceed through a self-examination, hopefully to the confessional, that is a source of comfort and not a source of consternation for you. Because you have to step back, and as Catholics understand, you serve a gospel that is the end of iniquity and the coming of the Savior. The Holy Spirit speaking through Isaiah says, speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned. Warfare is ended. What's that about? You know, I try to point out quite frequently, contrary to what we hear a lot in our day and age, in the warm and fuzzy times in which we live, where God is just this boys will be boys kind of a being up in it and just kind of lets things go as they may. And, you know, he's not really angry at anyone. He loves everyone. I tell you what, the scriptures say, before our baptism, before we come to a faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, we are at enmity with God. We are his enemies. We are not his friends. He does not love you. Okay? Again, oh wow, I've never heard, that's what this says, okay? There is a necessity for the cross. There's a necessity, and that necessity is reconciling us with God. And again, it's not a matter of stepping back and going, oh my gosh, I was an enemy. You were an enemy with God. If you are sitting here and you are a baptized Catholic, if you are baptized, you have received the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ has been infused into your being. You are no longer an enemy of God. The warfare is ended. That's what the prophet is talking about. It is over. You are now friends of God. But don't ever fall into this, I'm no different than the person out in this world. I've heard a lot of people witness to people and say that. I'm no different than you. Then we have a problem. We need to talk. You are dramatically different. You are an apples and oranges proposition to compare to the person that has not been baptized. They do not have the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ infused to them. They are enemies with God. You are not. You are not the same. God looks upon you completely different. Your warfare is ended. Your warfare is ended. Your iniquity is pardoned. All the sins that you have committed, are committing, and will commit, as long as you avail yourselves of the means that He has given us, confessional, the Eucharist, as long as you engage with those, you will never lose this. Your iniquity is pardoned. I mean, we have a tendency, just in our nature, to mess things up. When we mess them up, we fix them. He's given us means to fix them. The means of the fix is our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the message of the gospel. That is the message to trust in the power of God and not in your own power to save yourself. Because you can't. You can never be good enough. You can never be good enough. You can never work your way into heaven. You can't say enough prayers. Well, I don't believe in this Jesus thing, but God and I are okay. No, you're not. No, you're not. The thing that makes you okay with God is our Lord Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. That is a source of comfort, a great tenderness for us. Because it's the message of the gospel, but the message that we serve is not a philosophy. The message that we serve is not a catechism. It's not a book. It's not a list of arbitrary do's and don'ts. You serve a God who personally loves you, who personally hung on a cross and died for you. The message is one of a person, not, again, of a philosophy or just some list, not a book. The beginning of the Gospel of St. Mark that we read today, I love that first sentence. That first sentence is so telling. The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Notice it doesn't say the beginning of the Gospel that was given to us by Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Or it doesn't say the beginning of the Gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It says the beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Gospel is a person. The Good News is an action in the past. The Good News is someone who loves you beyond all measure. More than anybody in this world ever could. It doesn't matter who it is. Your mom, as much as love her. Grandma. Grandpa. Jesus Christ loves you more than they could ever even fathom to love you. That's how much He loves us. That's the source of comfort that the Holy Spirit speaks of through Isaiah. And why is that? Why is it a source of comfort? Because, again, the message isn't just words. The Holy Spirit speaking through Isaiah says, "Behold your God." This message of salvation is your God. It's your God working for you. That should give you a zeal for evangelism, because you should feel such an indebtedness for what our Lord Jesus Christ has done for us that you can't keep your mouth shut about it. Because the only thing that He asks of you, the only thing He demands of you, is that you share the comfort that you have with others, people that do not have it. We are the ones, just like the precursor of our Lord Jesus Christ, John the Baptist. We are to go out there and talk to people about making straight a pathway for our God, to make rough places plain. He has done that for us. He has made the path straight. He has made the rough places plain. We just have this tendency, again, as I said before, in our nature, to look at that smooth path that's in front of us and kind of heap gravel on it occasionally, and some, like me, will kind of occasionally put huge boulders that are impassable in front of it. But He has even given us a fix for that. Again, the confessional. It takes those things out. These are the times of that self-evaluation. These liturgical times of the year when we reconsider how straight are our paths still. How plain are the rough places in our lives. And we fix them. And we fix them by letting Him fix them. Because we can't do it for ourselves. You can't fix what you got going on. He needs to do it in the confessional. You don't have the strength to endure this by yourself, this journey in which you have embarked. You have to be strengthened for that in the Eucharist, by taking the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ within yourself. He has made the path straight. He has made the rough places plain. And if you avail yourself of what he has given you, they will stay that way. As much as we try to mess them up, they will continue to be plain and they will continue to be straight. That is Advent. We continue to make this pathway to our hearts clear. And that's what it's about. Because we are on a journey. This is, it's like the Exodus story. Remember, Moses takes the people out of Egypt. He takes them out of there because they were in bondage to chattel slavery. They, in the truest sense of the word, of being slaves, they did what other people did, told them to do because they had to. All right? There's a worse thing than being a slave like that, and that's being a slave to sin. And that was the grand scheme of things, that our Lord Jesus Christ came to take us out of the slavery of sin and walk us down those straight paths and those rough places that have been made plain. That is the journey in which we find ourselves now. The way is opened that will bring us to the unfading glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when you're on that journey, and as you see what he has done for you, as you progress, you continue to see what he's done for you, and you cannot more and more help but to feel indebted to him and to desire to share that with others. If you don't want to share that with others, then, again, we got to sit down and talk, because you don't appreciate what he's done for you. Because he says the consequence is that he's going to get up on a high mountain and lift up your voice with strength. We're to proclaim the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not proclaiming lists of rules, not proclaiming this, that, or that, proclaiming a person. What Jesus Christ has done in your life. You know, and some of us don't see this dramatic change. We're born and raised in the church, and you're baptized, and you just kind of live a life. There's always a time, though, in your life when it becomes real for you, or should, up to this point, have become real to you. And to understand what he's done for it. And that elicits from us this proclamation of the first and second advent, so to speak. That first advent when he came as our Savior. The second advent where he's going to come and judge. Because you can never separate the two. You don't look at it and go, oh, he came as our Savior, now we got to talk about him as coming as our judge. No. The message is an integral whole. The message has always been. The Holy Spirit speaking through Isaiah. He talks about all the comfort my people climb the high mountain. But it also says, remember, that God has given Israel twice the recompense for her sins. So there's always that judgment also. He is our Savior. He is our judge. That is the message of John the Baptist. That is the message of our Lord Jesus Christ. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent because your judge is coming. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Your Savior is here. That is the apostolic message. That is the message that we are to proclaim, the message of the first and the second advent. You have to climb that mountain. And it's just not churchy talk. This is where the soul searching comes in. Are you ascending the mountain? Is it, again, jump tracks from ethereal church talk. You must ascend a mountain. It is very practical. You ascend a mountain in doctrine, because our faith is doctrine. The message is Jesus Christ, but he has given us a truth, and we have to proclaim that. That is the doctrine that the church has handed down for over 2,000 years. You have to climb the summit of that doctrine. Now, everybody's in a different place, but you should always be aspiring to get higher and higher. Learn more about your faith. Learn the objective facts of your faith. Learn the traditions of your church. Learn what's going on in the mass. Well, I used to think this. I used to think that. No. Learn what the Mass is. Learn about worship. Learn about the practice of your faith. Ever practice it more and more. That's the ascending of the mountain. We can ascend the mountain of our faith. Because faith is not something that you have within yourself. It is something that has been freely given to you. It is a theological virtue. Faith, hope, love, charity. Faith, hope, and love. You don't have them innately. God has to give them to you. But when we ascend the mountain of faith, we should be praying daily, or at least very regularly, that he increase our faith. Because when he increases your faith, It cannot help but to shine forth from you. You cannot help but to exude your faith in everything that you do. That's proclaiming. That's that loud voice with strength. Like St. Francis says, yeah? Preach the gospel. If all else fails, use words. Yeah? We do our best when we just live the life, not talk so much. We have to ascend to summit because we are commanded to do so, because it's a consequence of being comforted in what He has done for us. As I said, we serve a person who loves us. This whole idea of the shepherd. Here, this is the first time in Isaiah when we hear God referred to as a shepherd. So, nope, in the psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. I said, actually, the proper translation of that is the Lord leadeth me. And then you get a bunch of agrarian illustrations. So it does sound kind of nice to say the Lord is my shepherd, but it's not specifically said. It says the Lord leads me. But here in Isaiah, it specifically says the Lord is our shepherd. It's a messianic prophecy. It's the one who loves you. God who loves you is going to reach down and take you into His arms. He will feed His flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in His arms. Well, who was He really talking about? Do we know? Obviously we know. Our Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospel of John says, I am the good shepherd, and I lay down my life for the sheep. For someone to lay down their life for someone, St. Paul says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that for a good man, some people might consider to die. There ain't nobody on the face of this planet who would ever consider to die for someone who hated them, for someone who spat upon them, for someone who was trying to kill them. Oh, you're trying to kill me here, let me die for you. While we were yet sinners, our Lord Jesus Christ died for us. He is the good shepherd. That's how much He loves you. While we hated Him, He died for us. You think about that. And it's a love that, again, not only should elicit our debt, but even more so, just give you such great comfort. In this Advent season, as you're progressing through this whole thing, don't look at it as, oh, a time of the liturgical year to beat myself up. It's a time in the liturgical year for you to be comforted beyond all imagination, to know that your Savior has come, that you can receive Him within yourself, and that He will indeed come again as a judge. But you don't have to worry about anything, because He has finished the work for you. He has taken you into His arms. The warfare is ended. Your iniquity has been pardoned. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.